give me that phone. Devon Gibbons on 97.5, The Fanatic.
What's going on, y'all? 97.5, The Fanatic. 12 noon here on this Saturday afternoon as we broadcast from the Xfinity Studio. Only from Comcast, Devon Gibbons with you until 3. Following my man, Andrew Salchunas. Good to see Drew. I haven't seen him in a while. You know, just from some text exchanges and that, right? Josh, I see Josh from time to time passing each other here when I get in for the weeknight shows. So it's good to see those guys, and that's how things have been with everything that's going on. It's just one of those deals right now where you don't get a chance to see your folks, and good to see those guys. Good to see Dylan McKinnon, who I also have not seen very much of as of late. So it's good to be with Dylan. We'll be here with you until 3 o'clock today. So looking forward to it on this Memorial Day weekend. Once again, everybody, you know, driving in, you see a bunch of cars out there. Everybody's seems like they have some place to go. So just be safe, be cool, have a good time. And, you know, let's get through this thing together, because we know how it is already. And let's try to get through it. But we wanted to just simply talk about a variety of things, and we'll have a side topic that we'll throw at you later on in the afternoon as we go up until 3. D, line them at 3 o'clock, so we'll get to D at 3. But we wanted to start off simply with just a variety of things. Last night we had an opportunity to talk a lot about the Philadelphia 76ers. Actually, over the last couple of days, we've been able to talk about the Philadelphia 76ers. And as we get our first call without even sharing what we wanted to talk about, it's cool because Ed wants to jump in on the 76ers, and we'll get to Ed shortly. But, you know, we threw around the amnesty thing last night. That is a possibility, or at least a discussion that has been out there for the NBA and what they could potentially do with a possible amnesty, and Al Horford's name being a primary focus, not only for us during the show last night, Tobias Harris as well, but for the Who Collective podcast that we shared the audio from yesterday, that would be Tyler Zuli and I. And, you know, there was a lot of feedback and a lot of kickback to that. But also throwing in the mix, as Drew was talking about, Simmons and Embiid cracking that all-time five, Iverson, Greer, with Julius Erving and Barkley and Wilt Chamberlain, seeing who can crack that starting five, and Simmons and Embiid being the topic of conversation. You know, it's just interesting to see the talent that we do have during this time. So with that, you know, just simply looking at all the things that, all the names that we've had in the city, and it's been, we've had some really good names in this city, and where we are right now, it is still a good spot. A little bit down, if you will, because when you think about 1980, and they would have all of the teams in the finals for their respective sport, right? Remember the photo where it had Julius Erving, Jaws, I want to say it was Bobby Clark and Mike Schmidt, where they had it downtown somewhere. I don't remember if it was at the Art Museum, or I don't remember if it was the Art Museum, but it was a slick picture with all four of them. And it was pretty cool. And you think about it now, and as Drew just pointed out, it would be an Embiid or Simmons, right? Carson Wentz, Bryce Harper, and what? I guess still Claude Giroux, even though Carter Hart is the young up-and-comer here for the Flyers. But you would still probably incorporate Claude Giroux as the face of the Philadelphia Flyers at this time. So that just had me thinking, while Drew was talking about it, and Dylan and I spitballing in the back as we get ready for the show, just the talent level that has been in this town over the years, the talent level that's in this town right now, and wondering just where things rank for you with the talent base in this area. 1980 was probably the peak. It had to be when all four teams are getting to their finals. Had to be, right? Had to be. But then you start the transition and you say, okay, let's go to maybe the 90s, and you start to run off names there, where it's Randall and Charles was still here in the early 90s before he was traded to the Phoenix Suns in 92, part of the Dream Team.
and gets to the finals that year playing against the Bulls in 93. And that run, and thinking about who was on the Phillies at that time, and what the Flyers looked like at that point, because that's when you start to think about Eric Lindros. And then you go to the next part where it's Iverson now. Then you start to get McNabb and everybody starting to funnel through these franchises. So looking at that and thinking about what Drew was pointing out, and how we were talking about the Sixers over the last couple of days, Drew talking about the Sixers, Eagles, Flyers, and Phillies today, he and Josh, and looking at the talent base here that a lot of people are focused on, where you're starting to get these top five teams, rankings of best players, Mike doing the draft where you're putting together an all-time team of each sport, each franchise of the Phillies, Flyers, Sixers, and Eagles here in town, or yesterday, I believe Mike did that, and you start to just look at the talent base that's been here. So we have a wide range when it comes to our audience, right? Listeners, the people who call in, who jump in with us on social media as well, whether it be Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, however you are able to jump in, we have a wide range. So I wanted to ask this, though. As you talk about, let's say Claude Giroux slash Carter Hart, right? Because Carter Hart is supposed to be the future. And when you talk about Bryce Harper, he is the current and the future. Simmons and Embiid, current and the future. Carson Wentz, current and the future. Even with the stupid pick of Jalen Hurts, no disrespect to him, at the second with the second round pick at number 53. When you look at the, what was the best era of sports for you in this town? Because not everyone was able to experience 1980. Not everyone was able to experience 1983 when the Sixers got to the finals. The Phillies were still good, right? The Eagles were, they were good. The 90s, right? The 2000s. What was the best sports run for you as a Philadelphia sports fan? What era? And when you talk about the eras, obviously the teams are going to come up and the names are going to come up. Who specifically during those runs did you really key in on? And as Drew's asking, you know, somebody that you had high hopes for, but they turned out to be terrible. Your most underrated player that you rooted for that maybe others did not connect with, and you felt good about it because that was your guy, right? I liked Evan Turner. I heard Stan and Drexel Hill point out Evan Turner and Andre Iguodala also, right? We all have our, you know how Howie Roseman pointed out, you have your two tastes, the vanilla or chocolate, right? The ice cream. We all have our flavors.
I like vanilla and chocolate.
Hey, there you go. Vanilla and chocolate. I don't like chocolate ice cream, but it is what it is. You have your favorites. You have your flavors. You have your best sports era in this town as we now embark on what we hope is going to be another great run with the expectations for the 76ers before this 1920 campaign got underway, and a disappointing six seed before the cancellation after game number 65 over the Pistons. The fact that the Phillies could not get their season underway, but people felt a little better now that Joe Girardi is in. Gabe Kapler is on his way. He's on his way out. He's in San Francisco. You pick up a pitcher now, Zach Wheeler, to go with Aaron Nola. Could that maybe help things out? Do you get a better Reese Hoskins again? Because we're not looking at it the only analytic way that Gabe Kapler did before he was moved on. Joe Girardi, yes, analytic is in his way of managing, but he also allows his baseball smarts to take over. The Eagles, just 3 years ago, they were in the Super Bowl. Carson Wentz is still here. We are now 2 years removed from his injury. 3 years removed from his injury in 2017 to start this 20 campaign upcoming. And the Flyers, before things were canceled, the Flyers, they were the hottest team in this city, arguably one of the hottest three teams in the NHL before things were shut down. This was looking to be, how's this one going to shape up? Because the Flyers and the Sixers are on deck right now with the playoffs upcoming. Sixers, as Brandon Brown kept telling us, built for the playoffs. Okay, maybe they can make that run. Maybe the Flyers can take that hot streak and continue to roll through the postseason in the Stanley Cup playoffs and make that deep run into June, hoisting that trophy at the very end. Another warm parade here in Philadelphia down Broad Street. That would have been tremendous. We don't know. Then the Flyers, you're next up. Step up next. Carson Wentz, same deal with the Philadelphia Eagles. They go and make their defensive adjustments, the additions to the team in free agency. The draft happens with Rager in the first round, the pick with Hurts, and then the other things that they did thereafter. No Carlos Hyde because he is now a Seattle Seahawk. We'll see what they do going forward. But high expectations for these four teams, specifically the Sixers and the Eagles, but the Flyers in season did something to put themselves in this conversation, right? The Phillies could have done the same thing. We don't know. Nationals are tough. Braves, of course. Mets have gotten better. So on and so forth. But when you look at the eras, your favorite era of Philadelphia sports, no matter how far it goes back, younger, right? You're older, you're younger, you're in the age group of the 40s, your 20s. We just saw so many people talk about how they view Michael Jordan differently because they had an opportunity to see the 10-part docuseries of Michael Jordan. You saw how good he was and had people like myself, right, loving Michael Jordan the way you do, but still respecting the heck out of LeBron James for the work that he's done, but still won't allow ourselves to have him pass Michael Jordan because we remember what we saw, even though this is right in our faces right now, LeBron James and his fantastic run for all of these years since 2003 and having the sustainability of the play that he has on that floor. We don't allow ourselves to Michael Jordan. So I'm saying that to point out, there are people in their 20s who never saw Jordan but got a chance to see him in with the vision here of Jason Hare, the director, with Adam Silver, NBA Entertainment, all those years late, all those years ago, putting together this Last Dance documentary, and now people understand what we are always talking about. We see what you're talking about with LeBron. Now you get the counterpoint to see what Michael Jordan was able to do, why he's always in that conversation, whether it's a big man or LeBron James, when you're talking about a player who's the greatest of all time. So we go from different age groups, different flavors of the players that we like, different teams that we like, styles of play that the teams incorporate, the way coaches put their teams together on the floor. We know the front office does the job to bring the collective talent together. What does the coach do on the floor? All those things. So to start things off, 610-632-0975. Great stuff from Andrew Salchunas and Jason and Josh Rabick by doing what they were doing earlier with the players and talking about who could crack the starting fives all time with Simmons and Embiid, Carter Hart, even Bryce Harper and Carson Wentz. The best eras for you, the best era of sports in this town for you, what was it? 610-632-0975. Because I'll still stick with, even though growing up as a young guy in the 80s and my dad had me really focus on the 76ers and what they did, as much as I like basketball at a young age, and that carried through, of course, the rest of my life, and thinking that I could be a point guard, didn't work out the way I wanted it to, but I can hold my own from time to time, and hopefully we can do that soon once my knee is hopefully back to normal. I hope, crossing my fingers, keep this rehab rolling. That Sixers team, I was not able to love it the way that, let's say, my dad, my mom, right, were able to enjoy that 83 run. What I remember from the early 80s, I was 3 and 80, so I didn't understand why the pennants and the banners were up in my grandmother's house as a baseball fan, as a basketball fan, football as well, not so much hockey, but I didn't understand. I knew they were there for a reason and they were excited, and I knew a little bit. I didn't understand it. 83, a better sense of it. Now, 86, I get it. Right, still good. Barkley is still there. They're starting to move Doc and Moses moves on. The Brad Daugherty mess with Jeff Rulin and Roy Henson and later on some other players couldn't get Brad Daugherty. You go into the 90s, already know who Charles is. He and Rick Mahorn fighting everybody, specifically the Detroit Pistons as they clinch the Atlantic Division and a playoff spot against the Pistons in the Palace. It wasn't the Palace at the time. I can't remember exactly, but at that time. So I love that run. Then you get to the 90s where the Phillies in 93 make that run that no one expected to happen. Iverson in 96, drafting of McNabb. in 99, and then that carries over into the early parts of the 2000s. So I would say my run specifically goes from probably 90 to a span of maybe about 2000. If I can go that decade, right, that entire decade of the 90s, just creeping in into the early 2000s, where McNabb, Westbrook, Dawkins, Hugh Douglas, Trey Thomas, that team started to really turn into that football team. Because remember, they got to the Super Bowl in 2004, but they were good in 2000, 2001, 2002, 2003. They get to 2004, and that's when you're like, oh, crap, these guys are going to win a Super Bowl. And then the Flyers, let's not forget about the Legion of Doom with Eric Lindros and those guys, right? John LeClair and them doing what they were doing. And it was a tremendous run for this area of sports. You can even creep into the college basketball scene here. We don't have a college football scene, unfortunately, until this past, right, the 2010s, when Temple started doing some things, because people don't incorporate Penn State with our area, even though it's not that, you know, it's a couple hours away, but it's not that far. But that, for me, is really my era of sports that I love. And now, certainly, from the 2000s with the Iverson run, what the Eagles did in the mid-2000s, what the Phillies certainly did starting in 2007, making the playoffs, getting ousted by Colorado, coming back, winning the World Series. Their run until 2011, and the Eagles again, the Sixers once again trying to get things going, the Flyers making their runs to the Stanley Cup, losing to the Blackhawks. We've had some good teams here. We've had some great runs. We've had some great players. The best era of sports for you in this town. And while you're at it, throw the players that really your flavor of player in this town during those runs. 610-632-0975. We'll also open it up to anything in particular you might have about the Eagles, the Sixers, as Ed calls in, the Flyers, and the Phillies as well, as we are still awaiting to find out when the NBA, the NHL are going to return, when the Major League Baseball will get kick-started, and we'll wait for the Eagles and the NFL. We don't have to worry about them because, again, time is on their side as of right now. That's the beauty of the things with the NFL. They can wait and see how other things go for the other leagues. So 610-632-0975. Dylan McKinnon is producing. I'm Devon Givens. We're here with you on this Memorial Day weekend on a Saturday, noon until 3, D-line them in at that time. We'll give you our side topic after we come back from our first break right around 12:30. We give that to incorporate that with the show as well. But we'll start things off on the phones, 610-632-0975. We'll check in with Ed, as promised, in Elkins Park, kicking us off this Saturday afternoon right here on The Fanatic. What's up, Ed?
Hi, Devon. My favorite era is from 74 to 83. I think it's pretty much four titles. Schmidt, Clark, Braun, Dr. J. You know, that was it. That was, you know, if you're old enough, that was it.
See, and right there, and you know how we talk about right now, where up in Boston, they were very spoiled because of the Patriots, the Celtics, the Red Sox all winning during the last couple of years, and it was always that one kid who had the sign that said something about how he was like 12 years old and he has 13 rings or whatever the heck he has as a Boston sports fan. And we're like, man, we if that kid doesn't get out of here, he doesn't know what it's like to lose. And we had, Ed, you were spoiled in the 70s, 74,
yes, I was.
83.
When I was younger, yeah.
Yeah.
One thing on the Sixers, as I look at them, and I hate to say this, unless they get that third player, and obviously the answer would have been the 2016 draft, if they could have drafted the kid from Toronto, I think, and as good as Embiid and
talking about in 16,
they need that third player. Otherwise, they're never going to get to the finals. And it's be in retrospect, it would be more frustrating if you have two stars, and you know better than the teams under Doug Collins. Because they need that third, you know, Butler would have been it, but he, you know, he's not here. I think they need that third player who's above the current supporting cast. And I don't see the Sixers ever going to do anything. And that's going to lead to a lot of frustration when you see Embiid and Simmons, they say, oh, we got the stars. No, you need that third player. And unfortunately, what's his name? blew it in that draft. If we had drafted him. Yeah, if we had drafted him.
You're talking about Pascal Siakam for the people who don't know.
Yeah, if we had Siakam, then that would have been it.
All right, and just to remind people, when we spoke about this last night, Siakam, Ed, was selected at 27. Timothée Luwawu and Cabaret at 24, and Furkan Korkmaz at 26.
That's the worst draft of any GM. That's worse. That's absolutely the worst.
Yeah, that was
unfortunately,
bad.
Unfortunately, but you do agree that they need a third piece close to the Simmons and Embiid. If they don't get that third supporting player.
So when you're talking about a third, are you talking about an all-star level player?
Something like close to it, like Siakam.
He's an all-star.
Level.
Not only is an all-star player, he's also an all-NBA player this year because of the development that he has.
Somebody at that level, just below Simmons and Embiid.
And I'm only asking because there are not a lot of three-team.
I know that.
But we know what the Golden State Warriors did, and we know about the big three in Miami. But there haven't been a lot of teams, Ed, to your point, that had three stars to that caliber to help them win. So do you need that third, or do you simply need Simmons and Embiid to elevate their play?
Unless they can get a lights-out shooter.
Okay. All right.
That might be the only solution.
All right.
Okay, thank you. Have a nice day.
You too, man. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 610-632-0975. So I guess he's thinking, and we could have asked, but the conversation went a little long, Tobias Harris is not that player for him. He's not Pascal Siakam. He's not that guy to elevate the level of play for Simmons and Embiid to take the load off of them a little bit, even at 19 points a night. Once again, and see, that's the thing about Tobias Harris as we start things off here with that phone call and Ed, and right away we're jumping into the Sixers quickly. That's the disappointing thing, if you will, about Tobias Harris. And it's partly, and I'm not even going to say it's partly my fault, because I wanted Butler and Redick over Tobias Harris no matter what. That's what I wanted. I was fine with Tobias Harris because I liked him from afar with the Clippers, putting up 22 a night at that time. Marcin Gortat, a great screen setter where they would run a lot of those pick and rolls out there in L.A. when Tobias Harris was shooting 40%+ from behind the three-point line. His three-level scoring in general with what he was able to do with his back to the basket, putting the ball on the floor, shooting from the perimeter. It looked to be a nice fit. I wanted him in that 22 points per game range again this season. I think that's fair. His 19 points a night, and it's crazy to say it, leaves a little bit to be desired, a little more to be desired out there for Tobias. He leaves stuff on the floor. It's tough. Simmons is a unique player. Embiid, the offense is going to run through him. But you have to shoot better from deep. You have to be able to be explosive off the bounce, right, for Tobias Harris to get to the basket and finish from time to time. I can't ask him to be this explosive Vince Carter-like athlete if it's not him to jump over people and dunk and finish at the rim. Just convert your layups the way you do, lefty, righty, runners, off, you know, all those floaters, teardrops and things of that nature that he does, and he gets buckets that way. I'm not mad at that. There's always something for me with Tobias Harris where he leaves stuff on the floor for me where I'm wanting more. I'm wanting more. I mean, and that's something that people can say they want more from Simmons and Embiid, and that's easy because we know that. But there are those others where you want more. The reason why people still say Carson Wentz is not that guy yet is because for some reason, for some people, he leaves them wanting more. You want more from him. Right? LJ Smith in the past. I heard Drew bring him up. AJ, our girl AJ tweeted at him about the LJ Smith. She loved LJ Smith. Still does. That was her jersey, right? That was her favorite player. Drew and Josh were talking about it. LJ Smith was one of those players that left me wanting more, especially that year that they went to the Super Bowl, because he, on offense, it was obviously McNabb, T.O., McNabb, Westbrook, LJ Smith was tremendous that year. Left me wanting more, thinking that it's finally gonna click for him. It is finally gonna click with him because he was that, he was built as that tight end, but he was also built to be that wide receiver type of dude as the tight end position where you were looking at Kellen Winslow, right? You look at Kellen Winslow and where he was doing things, like, all right, we got one here. We're transitioning from Chad Lewis to LJ Smith. And then Brent Celek comes in as a young guy out of the University of Cincinnati who is not a great blocker, not a great pass catcher, but he's going to be out there doing stuff to help out at some point. And then he turns out to be a decent, very good catcher, then a decent pass blocker as a tight end later in his career. And LJ Smith was supposed to be that guy. He just leaves a lot out there for you. And that's what Tobias Harris does for me. I like him. I want more. And I think that's fair. Not because of the contract, because I've seen him do stuff. 610-632-0975. Best sports eras for you as a Philadelphia fan growing up in this town with so many people reflecting on the all-time teams in each sport for your franchises here, whether it's the Sixers, Flyers, Phillies, Eagles, whoever it is, what era was the best for you and what player, right, that kind of pulled you into that era of sports that made you love it the way you love even until this day. 610-632-0975. We'll give our side topic when we get back right here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Javon Givens. 97.5. The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
The Fanatic. 610-632-0975. Dylan McKinnon producing. I'm Devon Givens with you. Once again, 610-632-0975 on this Memorial Day Saturday. Good to be back here with you on Saturday. Don't often get to do these, but when the opportunity presented itself, I said, sure, I'll jump in here, hang out with the folks on this Saturday afternoon. So good to be with you. Good to be with Dylan here until 3 o'clock. D-line, I'm in at that time here on The Fanatic, 610-632-0975. And right away, even though it wasn't a topic of ours, someone jumps in on Twitter at 76ers39 and simply says, leaving me wanting more. Embiid left me wanting more this season. The previous season, he was at 28 points and 12 boards, playing heavier. If he's giving me that next season, I don't care if he puts the weight back on. His losing weight this season saw a decrease in play. Ben must shoot. Well, we know that. No excuse. That's a whole other thing. Then he says, Ben leaves me wanting more. He shot jumpers from everywhere all last summer, and the video was out. He was dragging when he was playing the pickup games, putting up and draining jumpers. No excuse for him not to do it in games. It's nobody's fault but his. I agree with you. It is his fault. It's his fault. Brett Brown, you blame him. People blame Brett Brown for Ben Simmons not shooting. I blame him from 2 years ago. I don't blame him now because you can't bench him now. It's too late. You had to do it his rookie year when he wasn't doing it. That's when you had to do it. All right? That's when you had to do it.
It would be less frustrating if he was taking shots and was just really bad at them. The fact that he just refuses to take shots is so much more frustrating than if someone was just terrible at it. Because, I mean, Giannis isn't a good three-point shooter, but he shoots them.
Yeah, same thing with, like, Rondo. He wouldn't shoot them all of the time, but he would shoot them. He wasn't a very good jump shooter, but he would take them. So I don't blame Brown anymore for that. I blame Simmons for that. I blame Brown for what he did years ago. Yes, it can carry over until this year, but because it's still only 3 years he's been in the league. But on the floor, I'm saying. On the floor, I'm saying. But 610-632-0975. Let's go to Glenn in Roxborough next on The Fanatic. Best era in sports. What's up, Glenn?
What's up, man? Winfield in the building. How you, bro?
Oh, no doubt about it. Winfield all day.
So listen, everything you just said on Twitter about Ben and Joel, I agree with 110%. So I don't have to go there. Ben Simmons is a head case. I rest my case.
Ooh, a head case.
There are two eras for me. Oh. One with Iverson, but this first era, your first caller touched on it. That era, you said 74. I'll say 72. Or I'll say 73 to 83. That 10-year period. And it mostly centers around basketball. We saw the Sixers go from 9-72. Turn it completely around in 75 with George McGinnis. Then bring in Dr. J. Then Portland and the Sixers in an incredible run to the finals. Then we lose. Then we go through the City of Champions thing in 1980 when the Phillies and the Flyers and the Sixers and the Eagles were all viable. I mean, the town was popping. Mm-hmm. We had celebrities and superstars in town. Then in 83, we finally win it all. The Sixers do. That was an incredible run. That was just an incredible time to be in Philadelphia for those 10 years because things just changed. You saw us evolve into something different. It was just incredible. And I watched that. I was a teenager, and I went into an adult. So I know what I saw. I want to ask you a question, LeBron.
Yes.
If you take LeBron and you give him all of Jordan's teams, and you take Jordan and you give him LeBron's teams, what's the outcome? If you just put them with the same talent, if it's LeBron back in against Detroit, and LeBron with Pippen on them guys, and it's Michael with everybody that LeBron.
No,
has.
Yeah, I know. Are you talking about LeBron with Cleveland? Are you talking about LeBron with Miami? Michael Jordan with Cleveland, Michael Jordan with
right.
Miami as
right.
well?
The same run.
Well, they definitely win in Miami. They don't lose to anybody with Wade and Bosh in Miami. No one. Not even the...
So Jordan, Wade, and Bosh win.
Yes. They still win. Yeah, they still
win. They win in Cleveland. Because Jordan went in Cleveland with oh, God, the guard. What's my man?
Kyrie Irving?
With Kyrie Irving. Does Jordan win with him?
I would say yes.
Nah, you hesitated.
I would say only because, not because of Jordan, because of Kyrie Irving.
Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, but we saw him on the big stage do what he did. So if I'm going to look at Kyrie Irving on the big stage in that spot, he was hurt the first year. Second year, when they got back there, he was great, and that's when they won in 2016. 2017, the Golden State Warriors was just too much, and he was already on his way out. Kyrie Irving was. He spent 18, 19 with Boston. No, he spent 2 years with Boston, and he spent 1 year with the Nets this year. So, yeah, he was already on his way out. Kyrie Irving was. Yeah, I think so, because what we saw on that stage, we saw the greatest of Kyrie Irving. So, yeah.
Okay, fair enough. I'll leave you with this. That last run for me was the era, again, Iverson, Sixers leading the way, and we go on the Super Bowl and everything. But that Iverson run to the NBA Finals, the city, I never saw more flags. I mean, the brand was
yep.
there. The whole city was on fire. The flags, everybody was flying the colors. And we actually believed.
It was amazing.
We believed we could beat LA. We really believed it, especially if we were healthy. It was an incredible run.
Yeah, it was amazing. Glenn, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you checking in as always, even though you're in Roxborough, Winfield, for sure. Thank you, Glenn.
I moved up.
Always. Glenn from Roxborough, 610-632-0975. With the people who may be like, what are you talking about, Winfield? I say it all the time. And I get on Eric Camille, you know, our coach who has the stuff that he puts in there. West Philly, you know, North Philly. Whatever areas of the city, and I'm always saying to him, I'm pleading to him. I never say this to him when we talk one on one, but I say it on the air. Eric, Winfield, that's where I'm from. You put that in the promo, right? That's reaching Winfield. It's only 5 minutes from here. 610-632-0975. But yeah, those eras, and that's what we're asking about with the eras in general. You know, which one pulled you in and made you the fan that you are today that has carried over to where we are right now. And how do you rank this era? I mean, that's the one thing we should have asked our first two callers, and Ed and Glenn, and we'll get to Connor right now, wants to talk about the Sixers. But how do you rank? Is it too soon to start ranking this era because it is 2020 when we look at the stars that you have, right? Do those stars rank with everyone else? Connor in Florida, next on the Fanatic. Connor, what's happening? Yo, Connor.
And it's Carmen.
Carmen, what's going on?
For the Sixers games, man, I just moved down to Gainesville, Florida.
Oh, so you're about to find your way down to Disney so you can go to these games when they kickstart.
I hope so. The same thing as if the
even though no fans,
baseball
by the way.
Comes down here to Tampa and everything. I can go to them too if baseball splits down here as well.
Yeah, how about that? Well, you just wonder, Connor, how many fans will be allowed outside with the baseball games, and there will be none inside the Walt Disney Worldwide World of Sports complex in Orlando. So you'll have to wait on that one and just go see them when they play the Magic next season.
Yeah, for sure. So I wanted to bring up, you were talking about Harris and Horford and the team that's present. To me, I think, and I used to call you and talk to you about before and after the games, that Brett Brown, I thought, needed more players, needed this. Well, he has the players the last year and a half, and I feel the team that's constructed by Elton Brand right now is more set up for pick and roll. If you look at Harris when he was with the Clippers, he was averaging more pick and roll than anybody in the league, and he averaged 22 points for them, okay?
And you can't tell me that Joel Embiid is not as good a screen setter as the great screen setter that Marcin Gortat was.
No, that's what they need more of, the Sixers. I think that they're going to have to find a coach to switch to more of a pick and roll style with Embiid, and then even with Simmons. And to me, another move that I would do personally would bring more of, I would start somebody else as your two guard and bring Richards off the bench because he's a better defender. He's not that great of a shooter. And I think you have too many guys that are not good enough shooters on your wings right now to help out the team going on to the future.
But what player would that be with the current roster? Are you going to leave Shake Milton in, or first of all, are you starting Al Horford?
I am. With the pick and roll set up, I would start Horford.
Okay. Shake Milton performed well in place of Simmons. Do you keep him in the starting five?
Well, I would try him, and I would try Korkmaz, but late stretches in the game, when you need defense, you bring Josh Richards in to end each quarter. You bring him at the end each quarter, other teams don't go on those late runs that they usually do, then puts us in a hole to start every quarter.
And Matisse Thybulle will bring him in, though, the defensive
Correct.
Lineup, including Thybulle, Richardson, Simmons, Embiid, Horford.
Yes. And then you have more of a defensive presence coming off the bench. You have, and then again, whoever the other non-shooter that's in between Shank or Korkmaz, you incorporate them 15 minutes. Your old McConnell minutes is 15, 16 minutes a game. You have a better flow to your team. You're doing more pick and rolls. Embiid's more involved. Simmons is more involved in the game. And you have much more open spacing for if one of them are going to the lane. The last year you had Embiid standing around at times. You had Simmons standing around at times, and they're supposed to be your two best players. You can't afford for them to stand anywhere on the court at any time.
No, you can't. Carmen, thanks for the call. Appreciate you checking in. Hopefully you get to some of those baseball games in Florida down there, man. Be safe. We'll check in with you soon. 610-632-0975. For it to be 2 months off, 65 games that we've already seen, and us still adjusting the 76ers lineup, that's not good. Sorry. It's just not good. 610-632-0975. That's why we had to have our session the other day for the 76ers on Wednesday night. Pat Egan and I, we had to have the session. And I got to tell you, Dylan, even with the sports era conversation that we're having, the phone calls that we've already taken with the sports eras and the greats that we have here in the town. Well, not the greats. Sorry. We were talking about this last night as well. The very good players that you have in our city right now. It's interesting that we've gotten just as many phone calls on just the Sixers with Ed and Connor wanting to talk only hoops on May 23rd. Here on the Fanatic. 610-632-0975. We keep that conversation going as we keep it rolling. We have some updated news now again on the NBA and their possibility of returning. We'll give you that when we get back as well. 610-632-0975. And we'll also give you, as we said, our side topic for this afternoon right here on the Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Javon Givens. 97.5. The Fanatic.
Oh, 12:47. It's a Saturday, though, y'all. Come on. Saturday. Loving it here. On this Saturday afternoon. Oh, yeah, Dill, that's great. Oh, a little Saturday music with the beach vibes. Saturday. You heard her. It's Saturday. Look at that. Oh, man. Classic. That's classic De La Soul right there. I like how you pulled that one out of the bag right there, Dylan. A little De La Soul Q-tip in there. Saturday. She wants you to bring roller skates out, but, you know, some people might do that today. You can put your mask on, go out there, nice weather, roller skate right around the beach area. Be safe. 610-632-0975. Man, a lot of basketball news jumping at us here. We'll get to it. We'll get to Jerry first, and we'll start to dive into some of these latest updates that we're now getting. Walt Disney World, of course, Wide World of Sports Complex in Orlando. Things are starting to heat up with the conversations. Let's go to Jerry in Philly next on the Fanatic. What's up, Jerry?
What's up, baby?
How you feeling?
I'm feeling good. How you feeling?
I'm doing all right. We had to bring back Dylan pull out the De La Soul Saturday music. Love it.
I hear you getting it started. That's what's up. That's how you get it started.
That's how you do it, right?
Listen, this team, you got to get a new coach first. You can't be, I know everybody's like, yo, the team is nice. We're running pick and roll. They can't run pick and you can't run pick and roll with Embiid. He ain't going to the basket. He's shooting at three. How you running pick and roll with him?
Well, one of my things, Jerry, and Brett Brown actually spoke about this when we talked to him now, what, two Fridays ago when he had the conference call via Zoom with the Philadelphia media, and he was asked about the Simmons pick and roll. And that has been a thorn in my side, Jerry, where I felt like if they're not going to have him do a lot of things in a half court set and only have him in that dunker spot, Jerry, you have to have him in pick and rolls because he is the screen setter, not the man with the ball, the screen setter, and allow him to roll to the basket. And the little bit that we've seen from him as the roll man, there has been success. I didn't know why they haven't done it more. And I like that Brown said that should they return, that's something that they would try to incorporate a bit more.
Okay, I like to pick a roll for them, but he has to dive to the basket. He can't back up and go to the three-point line.
Oh, no, heck no. That's what I'm saying. Pick and roll, not pick and pop. Pick and roll.
Right, and then you got Tobias. He can't create his own shots. He's a spot-up shooter. So where does he fit in on that? Because he can't handle the ball.
He can create enough. I like a lot of times, Jerry, when he's on the wing, he catches mm-hmm. the ball. Yes, sometimes he gets those screens and he does what he does. But there are those times where I like where he's able to put the ball on the floor, hard drive left, and pull up around 17 with that leaning, you know, he has the guy on his hip and he has that, he can't explode to the basket, but he has that leaning, right. He has that leaning jumper from right around between 17 and 15. That's become a patented shot for him that I've noticed.
Right. But his consistency ain't there. It wasn't there this year. I guess your best player in the pick and roll that's consistent, that can make shots off that pick and roll, probably is Jay Rich. And that starting lineup.
Yeah, he probes it. Yeah, I agree with you. Shake Milton, later in the season, he was looking pretty good when he was able to have the pick and roll opportunities as well, handling the ball and making a decision for himself with someone else. He was pretty good also, yeah.
And I guess they just figured out that Shake Milton could play. It took them that long to figure that out, too, huh?
Well, it's only been 2 years.
Exactly. Like, when Ben Simmons gets hurt, all of a sudden, everybody's saying, wow, he can play.
Well, let's remember this, though, to be fair. He broke his hand last year. And he had a second injury last year, so there was never really that time where he could stay on the floor consistently to kind of push for those extra minutes and crack that rotation as a regular ball handler. And then how was he mm-hmm. going to take, to be honest with you, where was it, Brett Brown loved T.J. McConnell, he wasn't going to take those minutes.
Right. So this year, what do you see them projecting? If they come back with this second half of the season, which isn't going to be long, how do you see them finishing?
Well, Jerry, listen, first, let me ask you that one, and then I'll answer you on the way out.
Okay. How do I see them finishing?
Yes.
With the layoff, depending on how everybody comes back in shape, and this conference, the Eastern Conference, they'll finish where they've been because they ain't beat Miami. They're not going to beat.
But they start off with Boston.
You're not playing at home, so all these games are going to be on the road.
Yeah, that's a problem for me, yes.
That's a problem for them, too. So,
however, it is a neutral site, so the other team is also going to be on the road. Jerry, listen, man, be safe this weekend. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks for the phone call, 610-632-0975. How do I see them faring this weekend? Well, we talked about this once again on Wednesday when we did our session on Wednesday night. And we had a positive session. We pulled the couch out, had the conversation, put the peanuts on the table in the bowl, had the water for everybody, and we laid things out. I looked at them where they could beat Boston in the first round, but I don't think it's likely. The thing that they have going for them, Simmons comes in back off the back injury. He's had 2 months off, 2+ months, because he was out for, what, like 7 games already after the All-Star break before the season was shut down. So he already had time off. Embiid, whether we feel like he's in game shape or not, and his conditioning may be a problem when they come back, he is rested. So it's not a case of whatever nagging injuries he's had, he is now going to be a problem for the team. Get in the game shape over the 2 to 4 weeks that they're allowing that training camp session for them. We'll give you an update on that because Shams Charania has some things with that. Josh Richardson, remember, he was also battling through some nagging injuries. He, too, will now be healthy after this 2-month layoff. Same with Boston because Kemba Walker had a back problem. Jaylen Brown missed some games because of some injuries. They're also going to be 100% as well. So this is something, again, that could benefit the Sixers, but it's also going to benefit the teams that they're playing against, the Boston Celtics, especially in that first round, because Kemba Walker dealing with the back injury as well. You know he's working on getting himself right to be able to deal with the rigors of a 7-game series in the first round, 7 in the second, 7 in the third, and the finals, if they were Boston Celtics were able to get there. Same with Simmons. I believe that he's doing the exact same. Brand said the league did allow Simmons to still get into, I believe he said it still allowed him to get into the facility to do his work that needed to be done as a rehab responsibility for Simmons and the Sixers to get his back to where it needed to be in the event that the season did in fact resume. So, for me, it's up in the air, Jerry. That's the team that they've given us this year where I cannot have a final answer for you, unfortunately, on what I think they will do. All I can say is I think they can beat the Boston Celtics. They have beaten the Boston Celtics this year 3 out of 4 times. They can beat the Boston Celtics. Can they beat them coming off of a layoff? Is the question. Can Simmons be Simmons with no back injury? That is the question. Can he perform through it if it's a problem? 610-632-0975. This weekend's programming is brought to you by Dietz and Watson Premium Meats and Artisan Cheeses. I'm Devon Givens. Dylan McKinnon's producing the show. 610-632-0975. When we get back, as we hang out with you until 3 o'clock before we hand things off to D-line them, we will give you the latest now popping up from Ramona Shelburne, Shams Charania, Sam Amick, Adrian Wojnarowski with the latest on the NBA and their possible return. We'll keep it going with the era conversation and anything else you want to throw out there with the Sixers, Phillies, Flyers, Eagles, and we'll introduce our side topic as well. 610-632-0975. Hang out with us until 3 right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.